In this video, you're going to discover how to use video to set up your first client meeting.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuds.
Hey now, I want to talk with you today about how to use video to set up your first client meeting, to really tee it up, right? So when they walk in the door, they're already looking at you like their big raving guru that their business has been missing their entire existence. That's what we're going to be talking about, all right? But first, a quick reminder from a past episode. Here's something that's super important. I want to make sure it gets into your long-term memory. So I'll bring it up right now one more time. In most scenarios, B2B video marketing is not about YouTube and Facebook, right? B2C, business to consumer video marketing, is typically about Facebook and YouTube and using those platforms to engage very specific target customers with your videos and then get them to a landing page where they buy, right? If your product or service is B2B in most cases, now I say that because after I say it, there's still a percentage of people that are like, yeah, Todd, but that's not most cases. And the reason I know that is from doing talk radio and talking about politics and current events and investigative news, people don't really listen that clearly. So in most cases, B2B video marketing is not about YouTube and Facebook, but how businesses use video on their website to educate prospects who don't read, which is basically every one of your prospects. They don't read. 18% of buyers say they want to talk to a salesperson before they're ready to make a buying decision. That's 18%. 82% of the people don't want to talk to a salesperson. I don't. I love Girl Scout cookies, but I don't want to talk to a Girl Scout. In fact, I don't want to be interrupted in my shopping process to be tempted to buy something, right? It's the same thing. When you're talking about B2B, business to business marketing, that whole experience is really, that whole like moving somebody through a sales process isn't happening on YouTube or on Facebook in most cases. In most cases, it's happening on a business's website, and you have to get really crafty in the way that you create a buyer's journey using sequential videos. Now, you may say, well, Todd, we don't really need, in fact, most people will say, yeah, Todd, that's great, but we don't really need sequential videos. We just need a video, right? But what they're doing is they're living in a different context, a different era that's long gone. 18% of people want to talk to a salesperson before they're ready to make a buying decision. Got it? That means you still have to transfer the information from your salesperson, who they don't want to talk with, and get it into the head of your prospect so you can set them up to reach out to talk to a salesperson, all right? And in most cases, again, with the most cases, it's kind of ironic how that happens, if it takes you more than 30 seconds, more than 2 minutes or 3 minutes to explain the value that your product or service has, you're going to need more than one video. It's just the case. You might be operating off of an old school mentality where you use a 30-second or 60-second commercial, but people don't do commercials for B2B. Why? Because it's a more complex sales process. You got more information you have to transfer. The more information you have to transfer from your salesperson's head into your prospect's head, the more you need video and sequential videos to tell that story. And the more you need retargeting for people who get off of your road to purchase and they get lost along the way. It's not an indicator that you're not explaining your product or service well. If you have to use retargeting, it's actually an indicator that you recognize that you already paid for these people to get into the first video, and maybe you have three more for them before they're ready to make a buying decision, before you have transferred that information. Think about yourself sitting next to a prospect. We do this all the time at Wirebuds. How long does it take to transfer that information? So it's a no-brainer, because if you can get all the salesperson's information into your prospect's head, then buying is a no-brainer, right? So once you get to that, how long does it take? If you sat next to me for 2 minutes and you and I had a conversation as we were waiting for our coffee at Starbucks, I'm not going to sell you there. Right? I'm not going to sell you in 2 minutes that you have to be a customer of mine. I get that. But a lot of marketers don't. They go in for what we call a harpoon and try to go in for the big close with their one video. That's a mistake, right? Instead, you want to use sequential videos. You want to pull people through. If you sat with me on an airplane for 4 hours, by the time we got off that plane, you'd be like, dude, you are the man. And you've got to be working on my clients, my products, Todd. Absolutely, right? Because I know it's going to take about 4 hours. And in that 4 hours, I'm going to transfer the vital information that I've got rolling around in my big dome into my prospect's head, right? I can't do that in a 30-second or a 45-second or a 60-second ad that was really designed for B2C, business-to-consumer products. And so I need to take a different tactic. So we're going to talk about later on, after I give you the news, how to use video to tee up that first meeting, right? And then after that, in another episode, we'll talk about the ladder of engagement and how you want to provide greater value with each and every interaction. So they want to move that next step with you. It's actually really easy when you get nerdy about it. So thank you for letting me tee up on that topic of how B2B video marketing is really, in most cases, not about YouTube and Facebook. All right? That's where I want you to get started. Here's the news that matters to video marketing masters. If you've been watching college football last season, the season has just ended, I'm sure you noticed the Miami Hurricanes and how they kind of resurrected this year, right? It was like, whoa, the U is back. And then you started seeing them on SportsCenter because one of the coaches, I'm assuming, created a rap star necklace, big gold chain with a big Miami U, right? University of Miami, that logo on that big gold chain. And if it was, it's got to be a special teams coach, because if somebody on special teams made a great play or had a turnover, I think it's a turnover. They call it like the turnover chain or something like that, okay? What I find interesting about it is there's very little creativity in this world. Very little marketers that think out of the box. Very little innovators out there. And as a result, somebody who's got a great idea, like this special teams coach that came out with this Miami Hurricane turnover chain, which got great publicity and went viral, okay, will now be copied next season by four other coaches that'll do virtually the same exact thing without any innovation on top of it, all right? Think back when Survivor, the television show, launched, and it was a big hit instantly. And then the next year, there were three additional Survivor shows. Why? Oh, and the year after that, five Survivor-type getting voted off the island shows. Why? Zero creativity out there. So if you want to stand out, borrow a concept and then modify it, right? So if you're a marketer and you're marketing University of Miami football, then the last thing you want to do is recreate what's already been done, but take that concept and figure out how else you can celebrate that great moment. And that type of concept is what my friend Jay Baer calls a talk trigger. If you've been following this podcast series, you know that Jay and I spent time together in Orlando. We did a great video on this, and it's also a podcast episode. But that talk trigger is how the U, University of Miami, special teams got themselves, not only their players rallied up, but got SportsCenter and Fox Sports One and ESPN Radio and Fox Sports Radio and all of these media outlets talking about the U again because of that turnover chain, right? So I want you to, all that is a talk trigger. Once you understand the concept behind it for the U, pick it up, borrow it, and use it with one of your clients. figure out how can you tap into something similar, but modify it because you're creative, right? You're not a follower. Cool. I hope that helps. Next year, there's going to be at least three teams that are doing the same thing. If I'm wrong, tell me about it. If I'm right, share it with me because I'm going to be on the lookout. Look, if you feel like you've under-accomplished in your life, don't be so hard on yourself, really. The Business Insider confirms your beliefs when they report the highest annual salary for any Apple employee. Can we do a little pop quiz right here?
Meet me in the mall, it's going down.
Meet me in the pop quiz, it's going down.
Anywhere you meet me, guaranteed to go down.
Cool, you want a hint? All right, here it goes. Apple CEO Tim Cook makes, ask yourself how much, quickly, how much do you think Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, makes? $12,825,000. Did you think Tim Cook was the highest paid Apple employee? Would make sense, right? But actually, Tim Cook actually draws the lowest compensation of Apple's executive team at $12.8 million. The highest Apple employee, how much do they make? That's the pop quiz. Ready? Here we go. That Apple employee that makes the most money each year, his salary is $24.2 million, which is basically the salary of a star baseball player or basketball player. But going back to my original question, if you think you've underaccomplished in your life, well, hey, welcome to the party, man. You're probably right. Speaking of Tim Cook, Business Insider had this interesting piece of info. Apple's board of directors is now making CEO Tim Cook fly on private aircrafts when he travels. Poor guy. Whether it's for work or for pleasure, anytime Cook uses an Apple private jet for personal travel, the costs are considered extra compensation on which he'll have to pay the taxes for. It's kind of macho, right? Dude flies private. If he flies private, he has to pay the taxes, but the rest of it's covered. That can't suck. You know, my last job came with a private jet. Really, we had a company jet parked 30 feet from my last desk before Wirebuzz. And we would go on business trips like this. Check this. Walk from the office, right from my desk, go downstairs and into an airplane hangar, board a jet. And the coolest part was flying home, getting off the plane at the office where your car was parked inside of an air-conditioned jet hangar. And when somebody pays for you to privately travel on their jet, you know what that's called? At least it's my name for it. I call it freeballing. That's right. Now I'm free to move about the country, crushing 45 Southwest flights a year. That's what happens when you give up your freeballing and you become an entrepreneur paying for, well, your travel. Good on you, Tim Cook. Good on you. Hey, do you know who Chrissy Teigen is? Yeah, me too. If not, I'll link a photo of her onto the show notes page for this episode, episode 136, wirebuzz.com/136. And there'll be a link to the page 6 article that goes like this. Airline passengers and model Chrissy Teigen spent more than 8 hours airborne Tuesday only to land back where she began. The former Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue cover model delivered an entertaining blow-by-blow of her crazy all-Nippon Airlines flight that was headed from Los Angeles to Tokyo before turning back to LAX and ending with a bowl of ramen. She tweeted at 5:23 p.m. Pacific time, quote, "A flying first for me, 4 hours into an 11-hour flight, and we're turning around because we have a passenger who isn't supposed to be on the plane." What? Why? Why do we all have to go back? I don't know, Teigen wrote. Look, I think it's interesting. Traditional blackout areas are now storytelling opportunities for marketers, right? There was a period where you get on an airplane, and that whole time you're on the airplane, you are in a blackout, just like when it's a communication blackout, just like when the astronauts would drop back into the Earth's orbit. There's like a 30-minute blackout period in radio communications where Houston, which is NASA communications, is waiting to hear when they get past that blackout area and they can start communicating. But now traditional blackout areas, they're marketing storytelling opportunities, just like Christy Teigen. You're starting to see a lot of people using that space because it's their downtime. It's their opportunity away from the office and distractions to create content, to write a blog article, to create a video. You know, speaking of video, I'm going to post my favorite explainer video of the week on the show notes page for this episode, episode 136. Now, the best explainer video for the week goes to Not Standard, which was designed to fill a void in the menswear industry and ended up creating a new genre of shopping called modern bespoken. Now, clearly, I'm reading from their website word for word. You know how you can tell? Because I just used the word bespoken, and that's not how I roll. Hey, Not Standard, you did a great job creating the perfect vibe for your service, for controlling the emotion like perfectly, and for telling a story that's directly aligned with the message that's playing out in the head of your prospect when they approach your business and your website for the very first time. All of those are big tasks. They're difficult to do. And you executed it perfectly. You can watch that video on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/136, or go to notstandard.com, and they spell not like the knot on a tie, K-N-O-T, standard, all one word, .com. Now, the reason I pulled this out is the topic of this episode, right? How to really tee up your conversation upon first meeting. Using video to set up that first meeting is really vital. Because like I mentioned to you, when somebody walks into your office for the first time, or when you fly to a conference and you're going to be meeting with new prospects for the first time, leverage the power of video before you walk in the door. And if you do it the right way, well, they basically hand you the work long before they would have ever considered you. Let me give you a little story. And then we get back to Not Standard after this little story. But the first time I used videos that like Not Standard, met my target customer where they are before they meet me, the story that's playing out in their head, what are their pains, and addressing those in a introduction video, what happens? At least for me, I crushed the deals. I targeted 48 cold prospects before I went out to a conference. I don't know where the conference was. Tampa, that's where it was. Tampa, Florida. There were 48 people that I absolutely positively wanted to get in front of to see if I could schedule a meeting. All right. And of that, I sent them an email with a video in it. I used video in the subject of the email because I'll double the open rate. We already know that. People are lazy. Make them open the email by showing them how easy it is to learn about you. Use the word video. And then inside the email, I used a screenshot that with a play button that looked like a video. And when they clicked on that screenshot that looked like a video, it linked them over to a landing page where I controlled the experience. And there was an introduction video about me and my company and the amazing breakthrough things we've done for clients. See how I do this? Then when I show up for the meeting, by the way, I'm going to tell you the dollars that came out of these deals, but when I showed up for the first time, shook people's hands for the first time, they were already glowing like we were old friends. My alarm went off inside. Any good salesperson knows, whoa, something different's going on here, right? And I sat down and the second question this company asked was, all right, Todd, we've done a lot of research before meeting you. Really, they just watched my videos. But they felt like they've done a lot of research before meeting me. And then this jewel fell out of the VP of marketing's mouth. So, Todd, what are your contract terms like? What? Contract terms? Right after a handshake, second question, what happened there? My sales cycle usually takes 8 weeks. How did I go from first introduction handshake to second question, what are your contract terms like? What I did is I set up the first meeting like a boss, right? I sent them a video. that showed my company's expertise. I told a story that matched the story that was playing out in their head. So we were aligned upon them watching the video. It started from the same spot. And when the video ended, they saw case studies and examples of my work, right? Animation, 2D and 3D, storytelling, B2B, B2C, inside of their specific industry. And I did that because I know the power of video is freakish. So we'll get into that in a few moments. Back to, I promised you I was going to tell you the money, right? Hey, thanks for keeping me honest there. All right, so I landed 2 meetings. That's all I got at the conference. I sent out 48 emails, 48 totally cold prospects. But I landed 2 meetings, and they were crushing our videos. How do I know? Because I track on the back end, and that flags my attention. Because anybody who's showing me that they're demonstrating a high level of attention span on my videos, those are buyer's signals, right? So I knew who they were, and when I had the meetings, I had more confidence, and they also had more confidence in me, and all I really had to do was show up, pass the smell test, and have all of my chiclets in my mouth pointed in the right direction and a nice smile. It was that easy. I served it up. And after those meetings, I got $350,000 in verbals that to date are closer to $600,000 in work that I've done for these 2 companies. Now you may say, okay, so $300,000 is what it takes to engage Todd, right? The reality is one of those companies has done about $450,000 and the other one is another $150,000, okay? So be careful when you average, but you should know that what I want to do is always make my time as valuable as possible. And the way that I do it is I build up our ability to communicate before I arrive so we can get closer to a yes while I am there, all right? Now back to Not Standard. Their video is super. Like, we circulated inside of our office. We were inspired by it. They created the right emotion. They told the right story. They showed the level of sophistication. And members of my team who would never be a customer and get custom clothing were like, damn, I should get some custom clothing. So what it really did is it used the power and persuasion of video, storytelling, emotion, music, and visuals to stimulate people to want to buy, right? You should be doing it each and every time. You know, I'm actually a custom suit guy for 2 reasons. First, I was partially raised by my grandfather. My grandfather owned a men's custom tailor store, and that's one of the ways that I reconnect with him, right? And the second reason is their custom suits are, they're fucking awesome. Right? You feel like $1 million when you wear the perfect suit. And to give you an idea how awesome custom suits are, I once heard a story, and this will give you the value of it, told to me directly by a suit tailor who had a son that was just drafted to go into Vietnam. Okay, so he was telling me this story probably in the 2000s, early 2000s, but he was referencing what happened during the start of Vietnam. And that father who made custom suits made a new suit every month for some military general who kept the tailor's son at home during the Vietnam War, kept him, you know, stateside, out of trouble. What other type of black market currency has that type of power? Now, I could literally think of a couple. What type of black market currency could literally keep a boy safe from the draft and from war? 3 things that would persuade men: sex, money, drugs, right? Those are the 3 things. And then the 4th, a custom tailor suit. Good on you, Not Standard. So anyway, thanks for letting me wedge in that amazing story that I needed to share and fit it into this episode. If you want to see that explainer video, my favorite one of the week, just go to the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/136. In several past episodes, I tipped you off about the trouble in Venice Beach, California, which isn't far from where I grew up in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa Beach, California. But Venice is the home turf of Snapchat. TechCrunch is reporting that talent is trickling out of Snapchat faster than you can imagine. Less than a year after joining Snapchat, social media nostalgia app TimeHop's founder, Jonathan Wagner, is departing the company. He tells TechCrunch he wants to build his own thing again. But the fact is that the number one teen social network isn't exciting enough. Should tell you a lot about what's happening at Snapchat. Look, I've been telling you for a while that all things aren't very rosy in Snapchat land because Snap's value has dropped tremendously, which reminds me, as their value is dropping tremendously, their talent is bailing, right? Because they were all invested on that stock, making it happen. And when the stock lost half of its value from IPO day, people scurry on to their next great adventure. Reminds me of a time a friend's company IPO'd on NASDAQ. Wendy and I, my wife, mi amor, I took her away on a romantic weekend, right? Because she knows I'm a workaholic. And I said, hey, let's go to Hotel Del Coronado, right, in San Diego. Let's go sit on the beach. Let's drop out. Let's have some cocktails. Watch the sun go down. Let's walk on the sand. Let's go body surfing. Get up in the morning. Do deep sand beach runs like Wendy and Todd do. Get a good workout in. Take a nap. Go to the pool. Do it all over again, right? And just as you would imagine, as Wendy and I put our feet in the sand, it's Friday. We're getting away. We left the office early. We drove to San Diego from Scottsdale, Arizona, not far, like 5-6 hours. Put our feet in the sand. We're about to go in the water. And sure enough, my phone rings. My cell phone rings. And I look at her and I go, I got to answer this. She goes, no problem. I'm going to put the towels down. I'll stretch. We'll jump in the water. Next thing I know, the client says, Todd, you're not going to believe this. Great opportunity for you. You know, we're IPOing on NASDAQ and we've got a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know those round buildings in New York City that are in Times Square that have the video boards and the videos go on those screens and they dodge the windows and the text comes up in between the floors and you can kind of see what's going on and it's all part of that Times Square? We've got three video boards for you. We're going to give you the contract on that deal and we need you to tell our company story for the day that we IPO on NASDAQ. And I was like, wow, that is awesome. And he goes, yeah, I know, once in a lifetime opportunity for you. So cool. And I go, great, when do you need it? Remember, this is Friday at 4:55. He goes, well, I don't need it until Monday, noon Eastern, which is basically 9 a.m. Pacific time. And it's Friday at 4:55, mind you. And I've got to make that jackass call where I'm standing in the sand telling my wife to hold off going into the water because I've got to call the office at 4:55 and pull everybody back in, start scripting for a project, and I am a big jerk on a romantic getaway, right? And the beat goes on. You never know when these deals are going to pop up, right? So every one of my clients that I'm telling them, man, you got to know how long it takes to make a video. Pop quiz for you. How long does it take to make a great business video right the first time? See my qualifier there? How long does it take to make the right business video the first time? Why do I phrase it that way? Because most people wait till the last moment like my client, right? Because everybody thinks, oh, it's easy. If you're going to put in the right pre-planning and precision, if you're going to do the strategy on the front end, if you're going to plan the storyboard and the script and get everybody's buy-off on it before anybody shoots or goes into animation, which most people don't, they jump straight into creative. They figure it out as they go. It's like going on a road trip without ever knowing what your final destination is and then being surprised when you arrive somewhere. And I don't do that. I just do projects right the first time. It takes 6 to 8 weeks. At least you want to do it really well. You want to make that video valuable for years to come. It could take 8 to 12 weeks. Always plan in advance and you'll get amazing results. Silicon Beat. Ooh, this is good. Facebook revealed in September that about 470 fake accounts and pages tied to a Russian entity ran roughly 3,000 ads in the United States between 2015 and 2017. Now, the tech firm is letting users check if they liked or followed a Facebook page on Instagram or Facebook created by that Russian entity, the Internet Research Agency. Dun, dun, dun. The link to the tool is going to be on the show notes page, wirebuzz.com/136. All you have to do is click on the link. And I believe it, well, it's owned by Facebook, so it's already connected to your account if you're already logged into your Facebook account. And sure enough, it'll tell you if the Ruskies hacked into your thought process. Ping me when you get your results, good or bad. If you got scammed by the Ruskies, you're clearly a Russian agent now, all right? So hit me up. Let me know what the results are, all right? And I didn't get hit up by the Ruskies. I didn't click on anything. I didn't like anything. So when I clicked on it, it was a bit anticlimactic. As you're going to see, I'm pretty sure that you won't have, nothing would have happened to you either, right? It's a big world out there. But check anyway, because it is funny. And thank you, Silicon Beat, for making sure we know about that. Look, the best marketers know how to turn a normal act of business into a fabulous marketing stunt that generates market awareness, fans, and loyalists. Now, first, I'm going to tell you about Anheuser-Busch and what they did recently that was remarkable, meaning people want to remarket it. They want to share it. When you do something that is remarkable, you get really great results. And so first I'll tell you about Anheuser-Busch, what they did recently, and then I'll tell you a crazy marketing stunt that I pulled off in my past. From the Business Insider, early this month, Anheuser-Busch caught a whiff of trademark infringement. Its beer brand, Bud Light, had recently hit cultural meme status with its latest ad catchphrase, Dilly Dilly. I don't know if you know about Dilly Dilly, but I like saying Dilly Dilly because there's that whole commercial and they're playing a lot during sports. And so much so that a Minneapolis brewery decided to create a Masonic double IPA named after it. But instead of threatening the Dilly Dilly beer, the brewing company, Modest Brewing Company, with some garbled legalese, Bud Light decided to have a little lighthearted fun, turning a potential combative situation into a viral marketing stunt. Really what they did? Aikido principles. They used their opponent's strength to their disadvantage, right? And that does not happen in the legal office. It doesn't happen from your regulatory affairs or your corporate communications. It comes from really smart marketers that are spending a couple of days in a room together, throwing around a lot of crazy freaking ideas until somebody comes up with the genius opportunity that's going to spread the Dilly Dilly Bud Light word. The company decided to issue a friendly cease and desist letter on an old-fashioned parchment paper and hired an actor dressed in medieval town garb to hand-deliver it and to read it out loud at the brewery's offices, right? It's just absolutely brilliant. And they filmed it, and it went crazy viral, and everybody saw it. You can get access to that video on the show notes page. With the Fiesta Bowl recently being played out in Glendale, Arizona, it got me thinking about how Glendale got the location of the NFL stadium and where the Cardinals call home and the Fiesta Bowl calls home. And it got me thinking about the publicity stunt that I pulled off when I was on the number one radio show in Arizona. Look, we knew where the Cardinals stadium was going to go. It wasn't supposed to go to Glendale where it is today. My team worked on this subject for 1 year. And the reason it's in Glendale is because of us. It was supposed to be in Tempe, right next to ASU, where the original stadium was. But we noticed that everyone on the site selection committee had purchased property. All of the impartial committee had purchased property around one of the stadium sites. So we did a stunt. We created a press release 40 days before the announcement of where the new stadium was going to be. we held a ribbon cutting ceremony. We invited all of the news outlets in Arizona to be there. When the ribbon cutting happened, the first shovel of dirt, the groundbreaking, we had cheerleaders and a marching band, and we said that it was the Cardinals that were going to make the announcement, come there on location to be a part of it, and we put it out probably an hour and a half or 2 hours before the event, so the Cardinals didn't have enough time to say, no, this isn't us. The media just went, right? They thought they were late on it, so they showed up. And when they showed up, we had a marching band and cheerleaders and hard hats and shovels and an NFL player that was going to throw out the first interception for the Cardinals. All of these things played out. And when they arrived and the media started to figure out what was going on, we handed them packets that implicated every person on the site selection committee for being involved, colluding into where the new stadium site was going to be. And as a result, that site got disqualified and Glendale got selected. Stunts make people, when you do them right, into raving fans. And that's what happened for us. When you watch the Fiesta Bowl or the Arizona Cardinals or the Super Bowl, when it's in Arizona, think of me and my stunt. The thing I love about my work is that each and every day I get an opportunity to make somebody's life better. Awesome, right? And I know I have that power with my work. It's within me. And I love to share that with other people that put their faith in me, because I know the cool thing about capitalism is that your life gets better when you make somebody else's life better. And it doesn't happen in any other economic system. You know, Wirebuzz is now 80 clients deep. We did 1,712 videos for clients in 2017, up 70% from 2016, where we created 1,016 videos. And we do these videos right the first time because we put in the extra time, right? And we haven't lost a single client because of it. They're all still working with us. And my life always gets better when my clients' lives get better. So all I have to do is create results for them. And they get results created for me, right? It's the perfect yin-yang. Yeah, I know you're probably saying, Todd, it's yin-yang, right? What can I tell you? 18 years ago, I married the hottest yoga instructor in the world, and all I can say is yin-yang is the way she tells me to say it. Got it? I'm good. So step back. Yin yang. Using video and how you set up that first meeting is vital. Let's get right down to it. You should be creating your story from where that target prospect first approaches you. They probably know nothing about you, which is great. So take it one step further. What are the pain problems that new prospect has in their head that they're trying to solve? Once you understand what those pain problems are, that's where your story starts. It's your first introduction video, and it starts right there. And then once you address and talk about the pain, start showing the scope of your abilities. Show how, I think the format is called problem, agitate, solve. Start off with the problem, agitate that problem, solve it, and show some case studies. Be short, compelling, succinct, right? Recognize that the visual quality that you show, the storytelling quality that's in your script, the animation, the lighting, the music, the audio quality. I say audio quality right now, and there's a vacuum that just got turned on in the conference room, which is right next to me. I'm in the studio, and it makes me laugh. If you can't hear it, great. If you can, it's hilarious that it happens when I say audio quality, right? But that's how people are going to judge you. Let them judge you. Tee it up. And when you walk into their office for the first time, if you do it right, they will embrace you like a long-lost friend or a rock star guru that they've only seen on TV. Literally, people walk in the door and they say to me, "Oh my God, I can't believe you're real. Can I touch you?" That is an indicator that your marketing and your video assets are turning you into a thought leader guru before you even walk into the door. I'm sure by now you can totally hear the vacuum because I can too. But what am I going to do? The beat goes on. Da 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 da. If your business is anything like mine, having just one video for your introduction is a little bit complex because because I solve multiple business problems, not just one. So having multiple videos for different personas or different problems that you solve is a really smart way to tee up the relationship. If you are following a traditional sales model and marketing model, you are slowing down the sales process. Basically, you are pumping the brakes. If you use video, because people are four times more likely to watch video, and you use it strategically, you'll get people to say yes faster. In the history of my company, when we started teeing up first meetings with videos, we condensed an 8-week sales cycle into a 3-week sales cycle, a 68% reduction in our sales process. Do you know what that does? That takes a sales team like mine to close 3 more deals in the time it used to take to close one. That's how we do 70% more videos for our clients in 1 year compared to the next and have less salespeople. Crush, 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 set up the first meeting, visually tell that story of your impact and your power, your potential, your rock stardom. And when you show up, they will say yes. For all you single guys, imagine if you had that kind of a tool before you showed up for your first date. It would change the dynamics, right? So make sure when you do it, you don't go too far out on, look at me, I'm great, I'm great, I'm great, right? Instead, I want you to talk about those problems that they're experiencing. I want you to agitate that problem. I want you to emotionally inspire them. The reason is an unaffected emotional buyer will not buy, right? We make buying decisions with logic, but we don't pull the ripcord or reach into our back pocket unless we've emotionally set the priorities. Emotions are the great organizer of your priority list. And if you can strike the right emotional chord, people will elevate your solution to the top of their priority list. Use the power of emotion. Set up that first meeting and you'll see amazing results on the videos and the return on investment, which gets me thinking. If you want to learn how to guarantee that your videos generate a return on investment, well, I created a 5-part web-based mini course. And when I say what I really mean is the Wirebuzz team with me starring in the videos, share our secrets on how to guarantee your videos generate an ROI, a return on investment, which is what this is all about, right? These videos are worthless if they don't generate ROI. And all you have to do to get access to that 5-part web-based mini course is to go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, wirebuzz.com/ROI. And each day for 5 days, you will get the next piece. When you watch this mini course, you should pay special attention to how I set up the topic, how I set up who I am, how I develop a relationship with you, and how in each of these 5 videos, when I get to the end of each video, I tease the valuable information you absolutely need to get out of the next one. It's called Open Loops. And what I'm really doing is I am promoting the next video in such a subtle way, you absolutely positively are waiting for it when it drops into your email the next day, and then the next day, and the next. Traditionally, video marketers have used Seinfeld philosophy where video 1 doesn't need to match video 2, just like episode 1 of Seinfeld. You can watch episode 2 without having to watch episode 1, right? That's the way traditional video marketers do it. But we're in a bingeable content culture, and you need to learn how to stimulate that viewer and do it in a way that gets them into the second and the third and the fourth video in the sequence. I've got a complex sales process. I can't do it with one video. It ain't a harpoon. Right? I'm not dude walking up to a girl in a bar using a sales metaphor and going in, hi, Todd Hartley, damn glad to meet you, and then going for the close. I'm not doing that. That's the way unsophisticated, unpatient daters or marketers or salespeople operate. Better than that. You are too. So think about how you can create sequential content. That's how we did it with our ROI mini course, because we know that everybody's going to judge us based on on one question, can you generate an ROI? So I just knock that down right at the beginning, right? Just slap it around. I'm going to take that topic. I'm going to own it. And not only am I going to own it, I'm going to put it on my homepage. You can see it anywhere you go. I've also got a webinar that you can view. And in that webinar, I explain how to hack attention. We're in a new economy where each and every person has competing attention issues going on. And if you want to sell to them, you have to hack into that limited attention span. You know, my dad is the first one that taught me how to hack attention spans. When you're talking with my dad, if he sees, and he's telling you a story, if he sees that you're starting to drift off, he will tap you in the elbow. Just a little tap on the elbow, just like that, right? And he pulls you back in. And as he's telling the story, if he sees you drift off, he'll kind of like give you a little nudge, a little punch on the shoulder, pull you back in, right? People do that all the time. But how do you do that in a hyper-competitive landscape where there's zillions of content on a topic, right? You hack that attention span by creating things that are of greater value and hyper relevancy to the end user. That's why when I told you about that first video you want to tee up the first meeting with, if you've got different personas or different problems or different products, right? That first video has to be hyper relevant to the end user. Don't expect to jam every square peg into your round circle and get great results. Be hyper relevant. The greater the relevancy, the higher the engagement, the faster the conversion. You should build that into everything you do. And if you want to get my secrets to using video to attention hack and accelerate your sales pipeline, which is what this is all about, I've created a on-demand video for you. It's 35 minutes long. It is loaded with my good stuff. Wirebuzz.com/speedo. Is the URL. Why Speedo, right? Because in the first 4 minutes, I tell you the most embarrassing story of my life. Why? It does three things. One, it hacks attention. Because now you're like, wow, he's going to be that revealing. Literally, I was embarrassed to tell this story. And I fought to keep it out of this. But then I realized it's a pattern interrupt. It's an attention hack. I've got to tell the story. The second reason is you'll never forget me once you hear this embarrassing story. And the third reason, there's a marketing lesson that's so damn valuable. You're going to need to know how to use that on the road that people take to make a purchase decision for you. Wirebuzz.com/speedo. And you'll know why within the first 5 minutes, why that's the URL. Look, if this podcast episode was valuable to you, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. Subscribe, rate and review. Rate and review. I love it. I read all of them. It helps me become a better marketer. Then you should know that on all of our episodes, we put them on the Wirebuzz site with the show notes page. This episode, wirebuzz.com/136. We do two a week. Oh, this is important for me. I need to tell you this. Sorry. I really am. I'm sorry. Life got crazy. I shared with this a little bit in the podcast leading up to it, but the last quarter of 2017 was the hardest quarter of my entire professional career. It questioned my faith, my sanity, my finances, everything, right? And then the holidays came, which questioned my commitment to my fitness, my dedication to eating a healthy diet, and minimal consumption of alcohol. All of that got questioned. And then as soon as I got my bearings, vacation started. And before I knew it, everybody was ready to go on vacation. And I've been stacking content for you that's all super valuable stuff, but I just didn't have enough horses in the barn to push it out in a timely manner. Please forgive me. You'll see that in 2018, there's big stuff happening for Wirebuzz and video marketing and Todd's speaking career. I should be speaking 40 times publicly in 2018. 40 different times, all right? and our speaker highlight reel of me speaking. And what I do is just about done. We've been working on it in the last week or so. That'll be released shortly. You'll find out more about it in coming episodes. This year is about the big blossom in my career and in yours. How do you take what you've learned? How do you take that really tight concept and open it up so everybody can appreciate it, right? And how do you nourish it and sustain it so that big blossom can be opened and enjoyed by everybody? That's 2018. And it's going to happen in video marketing like you've never imagined. You are early to the party. Congratulations. Early birds get the worms, right? And if any of this information was valuable, how to use a video to set up your first meeting, any of the news, the ROI mini course that I told you about, or my webinar on demand, 35 minutes, where I teach you how to accelerate your sales pipeline using the power of video. If any of those are valuable, do me a solid, pay it forward, share it with a friend, a colleague, a family member that you're rooting for, because you want to help them get on an accelerated learning curve. All right? It's just that simple. On behalf of the team at Wirebuzz, we thank you very much for your faith in us, your loyalty, your commitment to learning each week and being a part of sharing our content. I will be sharing little snippets of video like I have on my LinkedIn page regularly throughout the week if you want to follow and stay up to beat. Even if there's nobody here to push out a podcast episode, you'll still get it off of LinkedIn when I create little short videos, several of them a week. I'm about to go on the road. I believe next week I'm in Carlsbad, California, filming on location. We'll be creating lots of videos and at the same time creating some Todd Thought Leadership videos behind the scene, because the beat goes on and the story needs to be told. Anyway, I wish you the best in this new year, lots of prosperity, and I wish that you use video to tell your story in a more convincing and compelling way, because when you do it right, you end up accelerating your sales pipeline. You show up for that first meeting and people want to give you money faster, which is the whole goal. Use it to speed up the process and your pocketbook will be the first thing you notice that has drastically changed. All right, on behalf of the crew here at Wirebuzz, thank you very much. And I hope this information made you a video marketing master. Peace.